Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
A Cheektowaga man has been charged with killing his wife, two young children, and a store clerk in Buffalo.
Saleh Muhammad arraigned on four counts of murder in the second degree, one count of murder in the first degree. Erie County District Attorney Mike Kane detailed what happened Monday.
About 3:30 in the afternoon, the Cheektowaga police officers responded to a scene at a home on Ellen Drive. The police found three victims: the defendant's wife and his two children, a 26-year-old woman and her two sons, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, both little boys. They had both been shot to death. A little bit earlier, about 2:30 or 2:40 in the afternoon, the Buffalo Police Department, Buffalo police officers responded to a store on Grant Street near Military for a reported shooting. They entered the store and a store clerk, a 43-year-old man, was found. He was shot and he died at the scene. He was also shot to death by the defendant. I will note that if the defendant is convicted of the highest count of these charges, murder in the first degree, he will face a maximum sentence of life in prison without parole.
Buffalo Police Chief of Detectives Joe Reardon on responding to the scene.
It's never a good scene to have to walk into with human life dead right in front of you right there, especially when it's children, and it affects the investigators and stuff like that. So everybody's working together as a team, getting things done, and I just appreciate all the help we received.
What must have been a horrible scene walking
out? I could imagine. I didn't have to go into myself, but I could imagine.
The murders rocking two Western New York neighborhoods. WBEN's Brayton Wilson brings us more.
North District Councilman Joe Golombek says Monday's fatal shooting of a store clerk along Grant Street rattled a number of his constituents in the Black Rock neighborhood, but believes there is a sense of relief knowing that it was a targeted shooting rather than a random act of violence.
It wasn't like, you know, you were walking down the street and you could have been shot. This was, it looks like, somebody going after somebody in particular. So there's a little bit of a relief in that regard. But once again, it's just tragic.
One customer who patroned the store often was Chris from Kenmore, who's among those still in shock upon hearing of Monday's fatal shooting.
I go to that store every day, and he was the nicest man you would ever meet in your life. This guy would go out of his way. He'll give you the shirt off his back. And why does it got to happen to people like that? Why has it got to happen at all? I'm stunned by it. I am absolutely stunned and feel so bad for the family. That store is open no matter what. Blizzards, they never close. And this just stinks.
Buffalo Mayor Sean Ryan says the recent crimes happening across different parts of the city have been a bit different, especially with the weather now warming up. He notes that Buffalo Police, led by new Commissioner Erica Shields, continues to work closely with the community to build stronger relationships in an effort to get a handle on what's happening.
Crime and acts of crime are all moving targets. Sometimes you fall into patterns with that, and we've done a good job of interrupting the pattern crimes. But what we've been seeing in the last 6 weeks is something different, and that is just a series of crimes unrelated to any other crimes.
Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
All right, Brayton, thank you. WBEN News Time is now 8:05. The pushback on data center construction could lead to some new rules in Albany. WBEN's Tom Puckett has more.
As state lawmakers entertain a one-year moratorium on data centers, North Tonawanda has one of its own in effect, and Mayor Austin Tylek says his community is not alone.
I know there's one going or proposed in Tonawanda. There's something in Batavia that's up for discussion, Somerset. It just seems like everywhere you turn, they're looking at old industrial sites or old energy plants and trying to put up a data center.
State Senator George Borrello says he's concerned about missed opportunities.
I also think that you have communities that are looking at the revenue they'll be receiving. In some cases, you know, really game-changing support to do things like major infrastructure projects, like, you know, improving water and other infrastructure, and to give that 1 year to do nothing and then ultimately maybe kill a project that could be transformational for a community is something I would have a concern with.
Borrello says there's been some misinformation on the issue. Hear about that online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Tom, thank you. Iran fires on its neighbors, damaging an international airport while the U.S. strikes back.
Kuwait's defense ministry says several drones targeted its airport's passenger building, causing damage and injuries. Commercial flights were suspended. Meanwhile, Bahrain intercepted incoming Iranian missiles. Iran's Revolutionary Guard says they were aimed at the headquarters of the United States Navy's Fifth Fleet. This purportedly a response to the U.S. firing a missile into the engine room of an oil tanker that was trying to reach Iran despite the American blockade. Two Iranian news agencies report mediated peace negotiations have been paused, claims described by President Trump as false and erroneous. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
The group looking to bring a pro soccer team to Buffalo says they're delaying their start again. In a message to supporters, Buffalo pro soccer president Peter Marlette said the team will not begin play in 2027. The group had initially been aiming for a start this year to coincide with the World Cup being held in the U.S. Now, won't kick off until at least 2028. In a statement, Marlette said that though no stadium location has been announced, he's in advanced conversations to finalize a site.
An iconic department store is closing in a matter of months.
One of the few remaining classic urban department stores is closing for good. The flagship Neiman Marcus location opened in downtown Dallas in 1914. Saks Global, which acquired Neiman's in 2024, has decided to shutter the 9-story building on September 30th.
Jim Ryan with the details there. No Neiman Marcuses around here, but certainly you've had to have heard of that
name.
You
know the name. Ticket sales outlet taking measures to keep fans happy.
Just in time for the summer festival season, StubHub is launching a new platform to expand its Fan Protect guarantee with the launch of the new Fest Protect platform, which gives fans a chance to request benefits, including surprise upgrades or future Fest perks, and to counteract disruptions. The Fest Protect tiered rewards and protection system is built around common problems at festivals. Tier 1 includes severe weather cancellations, while the second tier includes scheduling conflicts, such as overlapping set times that force fans to miss artists they plan to see. Tier 3 is meant to address everyday festival frustrations, such as long lines, blocked views, and crowd congestion. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
I was waiting for her to say how much more it's going to cost to get this.
I don't know. I mean, it's a little weak in my mind. Like, if you buy tickets to a festival, you kind of know what you're signing up for.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, I had to go to the bathroom. Can I get a little refund? You know, I missed whatever song I was hoping to see. I don't know if that's really going to work out. I was trying to look up, you know, a little bit more of this policy. Nobody's guaranteed anything. And the biggest, thing that you can get back is a return ticket to the festival or a ticket to see an artist you might have missed at the festival or who canceled. But you're not even guaranteed that. So, I don't know. This seems a lot like PR.
And not a lot of protection.
I'm not seeing many people get protected.
All right. And how about this? Game one, last night of the Stanley Cup Final.
The Carolina Hurricanes hosted the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final Tuesday. Carolina got off to a hot start, scoring the first two goals of the game, including one that came just 25 seconds in. It was back and forth after that, as the game remained tied at 4 in the third period. But Vegas ultimately got their golden goal.
Hurdle into the dot to Sissons. It's back for Hurdle. He scores! Tomas Hurdle! And it's 5-4 Vegas.
The call on ABC. Tomas Hurdle with the go-ahead goal, his fourth goal of the playoffs, as Vegas wins it 5-4 to take the first game of the series. Vegas has now won 7 playoff games in a row. Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
All right, game one looked like it was all Hurricanes at the beginning.
Vegas came storming back.
Pretty nice game to set the tone for the series.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Another gorgeous day today. Mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, overnight lows in the mid-50s under mainly clear skies. Partly to mostly sunny. Highs near 80 on Thursday. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Joe Grimalia, former Buffalo Police Commissioner, is joining us on the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning. The community reeling after a quadruple homicide Monday afternoon involving Cheektowaga and the city of Buffalo. I mean, Joe, you may be out of the department, but you are always a police officer. What are your thoughts this morning about this horrific crime?
Good morning. It's obviously horrible. Any loss of life, anytime you have a homicide loss of life, it's horrible, but it hits you particularly hard when you're talking about very young children. It's a horrible situation, and it's also, you know, very traumatic for the officers who enter that home and have to see that type of situation.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You mentioned traumatic. What is available for officers to, you know, be able to deal with walking into a scene like that?
You know, fortunately, there's more resources now than there ever has been in police departments for, you know, throughout my career. For far too long, it was, you know, you just kind of dealt with it. You didn't talk about it. You know, you just kind of suck it up or, you know, go talk to the guys after work and you know, have a beer or something. It's, that's not the case anymore, and that shouldn't be the case. Back in May of 2023, we appointed our first ever wellness officer within the department whose sole purpose was to look out for the welfare of the officers. And it, the way it works now is any type of loss of life, calls of children, traumatic incidents, that wellness officer is proactively reaching out to the officers and saying, hey, look, we're here. There's resources available. And, you know, the officers really bought into that. And it's not just within our department. You know, other agencies have this and they work together. They reach out to one another and they want to make sure that they're helping each other out.
You know, we had John Elmore on the air yesterday, who is an attorney locally. He's also a former state trooper. And he said, you know, in a scene like this, it never leaves an officer's brain. You have to go to work the next day. And everybody just takes it for granted that the officers are okay. Are officers reluctant to take any of this, mental health screening that you're talking about? Or are they open and willing to accept it?
You know, you started off by saying that, you know, the officers have to go back to work, and it's, you know, sometimes they're going right back to the next call. It's not even the next day. And I remember the first infant death, you know, that I had doing CPR on a 6-week-old baby on the way to Children's Hospital. And I still think about that to this day. And that was the beginning of my career. But, I think officers have been a lot more and open to talking. From what I heard from Matt Cross, the Buffalo Police Wellness Officer, they certainly were getting a lot more buy-in. The Buffalo Police Department has a pretty robust peer team of all volunteer officers, again, whose sole focus is to help guide officers to the right, the right direction, to the right spot to try to get those resources. Their calls were definitely increasing, and I think this new generation of officers, really buys into it and understands.
One thing about not just what happened on Monday, but if you look back to last week, what happened the previous week in the city of Buffalo. I mean, even going back to the top shooting, what happened there. These are horrific crimes that happen in the middle of the day, you know, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think, people just kind of think that this kind of stuff happens at night. Is it surprising to you when something like this would happen in broad daylight? And, you know, does it go to show just maybe the dangers that police officers face? It doesn't matter what time their shift is.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think there's this misnomer that, oh, it's daytime. It's, stuff doesn't happen until the sun goes down. And some of our biggest tragedies, and you just talked about, we had an officer stabbed a week and a half ago. Last week we had an officer shot. Thank God they survived those injuries. One's going to take, longer to recover than the other one, I believe. Tops, as you mentioned, happened during the daytime. things happen during days, the daytime shift. And, you know, thank God we also have, excellent police officers that respond. You know, you're not going to prevent every crime from occurring. You know, there are a lot of things that the police officers do prevent. You have a gang shooting, you know there's going to be retaliatory crimes that come after that, and you can certainly plan for that, and you can prevent those further ones from occurring. Sometimes things are going to happen, and if you can't prevent it, it's how do you respond to it? And I think, you know, our department and, you know, our police officers have responded in kind and have stopped the threat very, very quickly. And, you know, again, just thank God those officers are going to, survive. They survive those injuries, and they're going to be okay. But again, they got to get the resources. They got to get the help. And, you know, they're very proactive. The departments are very proactive of reaching out to these officers as opposed to waiting for someone to spiral down and then try to, you know, pull them out from the bottom.
Well, Joe, thanks so much. We appreciate hearing from you this morning.
Yeah, and I appreciate you putting a focus on, the mental health and wellness of our officers. The healthier they are, the better they're going to be for the community and for their families and themselves.
Joe, thank you. Joe Grimaglia, former Buffalo Police Commissioner, joining us live here on WBEN.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.